Amen. Well, my name is Pastor Jeff Lamont. This is my wonderful wife, Tracy.
Hey, good morning.
And we're excited to be here with you today. Welcome those that are joining us online. Happy to have you. Today is a really special day on a number of accounts. And one of the things we get to do today that we don't often get to do, but I love doing it, is the opportunity to really acknowledge the calling of God, the gifting of God upon particular ones' lives here in our midst. And we have two ladies this morning. We had a gentleman about a month ago, Jeff Stanley. And today we have two very special ladies, Dawn Hodge and Jennifer Dupin, who are receiving their license, their ministerial license. And this is a really big deal, and we're excited to celebrate. I'm going to ask them and their families to please come. And we're going to celebrate them today, pray over them, and just believe God for a fresh, strong blessing and anointing over their lives. Where's Dawn? Do we have Dawn in the house?
She's coming.
Okay. Dawn ran to the donut shop, is what Byron is saying. Well, she might have, just to help us out. She does all kinds of things around
she
here
does.
And is an incredible blessing. So we're excited, and Jen, let me get yours here so you can hold on to this. We are just really, really excited to celebrate today with these two ladies. Let me read you what this beautiful plaque says. It's from our Foursquare family. It says, this certifies that Jennifer Dupin, or Dawn Hodge, has been recognized by the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel as a licensed minister to preach, conduct services, administer religious ordinances in accordance with the Declaration of Faith as set forth in its bylaws. And we're really proud of these ladies, both of whom have demonstrated their call, the call of God on their lives in serving in numerous ways and being incredibly faithful in the midst of that service. Dawn, we thought maybe you just ran away. We weren't sure what had happened. We're like, oh my goodness, Dawn got nervous or something. No, just kidding. I want to read a couple of scriptures over you all today. And Tracy has the oil here, and we're going to anoint you and pray over you in just a second. But this scripture really jumped out at me today as I was thinking about you all and just preparing for this moment. John 15, verse 16 says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. God's choosing is on both you ladies. He's chosen you. We're just getting to celebrate that today. And he chose you and he appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father, he would do it. The verse goes on to say. And Dawn, you've served in so many different capacities around here and been such an incredible blessing on this team. Jen, you've been everything from our kids minister to, I mean, you've served in so many different ways. And God has now blessed you and given you an incredible ministry outside this church that we're so proud of and love to support fully called Elevate. She's pouring into hundreds of young people and just making a difference. Dawn's in the midst of getting her counseling degree to be able to counsel and make a difference in that way. We're just proud of them. And would you give the Lord just a good praise for these two ladies and their heart to serve the Lord? Amen. Let's come down here and anoint them and pray over them today.
Yes.
And at some point today, there's going to be cupcakes and some good stuff on that back table so you can hang out and congratulate them and thank them for their service and just their willingness to make a difference for the Lord. So I'm always a little nervous here. I never know exactly where I get off the camera here. So
yeah,
we don't
want
to have
know.
A scenario where we just have a blank here. But we don't want to do that. I think we're all in right now. So let's pray. Father, thank you for Jen, her heart. Lord, long ago she sensed and she knew that you were calling her to serve you wholeheartedly. And I'm so, so glad, Lord, that today, this special day, we can celebrate her saying, yes, yes, Jesus, I'll surrender my all, I'll give my all, and I'll serve you with my whole heart. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, bless Jen as she continues to to seek to mentor and to disciple young people for your glory as she serves here in many capacities, as she, Lord, truly has proven out the call to ministry in her heart and life. Bless her, anoint her, provide for her, encourage her, and continue to use her for your great glory. And God, thank you for Dawn too, Lord. Just as she has said yes, just as she has surrendered, just as she has chosen to follow the path that you are leading her on, to make a difference for your glory. Anoint her, speak to her, provide for her, bless her, encourage her in Jesus' strong name. Lord, what an honor and a privilege to celebrate these two ladies, these two ministers of the gospel today. May they go forth commissioned today with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them, and may great fruit come forth for the kingdom of God because of their willingness to say yes to your call in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Can we celebrate together? Go ahead and stand, would you? Go ahead and stand. These ladies deserve it, believe me. These are amazing servants of the Lord, and I'm proud of both of them. Too. Oh, I love you guys. Wow, so proud of you all. What a blessing and honor it is to have that opportunity. I just love it. Just love it. Hey, we're going to receive an offering in just a bit. We're receiving a little different type of offering these days. Just text New Song Louisville, all one word, right, to 77977 to give. You can give right there on your smartphone or smart device. Hey, we give the tithe to meet the needs of the church. We give above and beyond that, all of us. We ask everybody to be involved in this because it's so incredibly important that the gospel of Jesus Christ be demonstrated and proclaimed to the ends of the earth. We're so excited to be a church that we want to make a difference locally and globally for the kingdom of God. And we support a lot of ministries here in this city, but also a lot of ministries and missionaries around the world. And our goal in this year is $48,000 that we could sow into all of our missionaries. That's right. So Marissa is going to come and give a quick testimony of what God just did through her and Jose and their team in Mexico. They were in remote areas of Mexico teaching the Bible and ministering, and we're so proud of them. Give Marissa a good hand, would you, as we welcome her.
All right, so the testimony I want to share is actually YWAM Louisville has three different schools, and one of them is a Bible school. And so that's the kind of outreach we went on, was a Bible school outreach. And so our goal in going was like to share the gospel and doing that through seminars and discipleship in churches and villages. And so we got to go to this village in Mexico called Chachubin. It's a pretty small village, and we were the first foreigners to get to go there. And so they welcomed us in, and that was really cool. And basically our seminars looked like a lot of basic discipleship topics. And so I wanted to share today about one of the things that I got to teach on, and that was the destructiveness of sin. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really like powerful like response time. And so pretty much I was sharing with the group that was there about how like sin is obviously destructive to us and brings bondage in our lives. It's not just a decision we make in a moment. It has ripple effects in our life. And that not only that, but that breaks the heart of God. Mm-hmm. That like reminding us of the story of the flood where God's heart is grieved over the sin of the people. Mm. And so I was asking the group, basically ask God, is there something in my life that's breaking your heart, God? Wow. Or is there something in my life that I've like allowed that has brought bondage that I'm not free from? And I could just feel in the room, I was like, I said that to the group, and I was like, I know there's bondage in this room. And I know people are like, yeah, like stuck in that right now. And so we didn't stay there. We like I gave everybody that like spend some time with the Lord right now, but also I gave them a piece of paper and I said, when you've had that time of repentance with the Lord, because repentance brings freedom, like take the time to repent. But then when you've done that, write down that thing that the Lord showed you and brought up to you and like come to the front, and there's a garbage at the front, and then rip it up and put it in the trash as kind of the symbol of like that thing is no longer, like you've been forgiven. And it was just really powerful to watch like one by one as they like came up and ripped that thing up and put it in the trash. It was, yeah, just like spiritually powerful.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Marissa. Thank you so much. Yeah. Aren't you proud of these guys and the great work they do? And I'm so blessed that we get an opportunity to support them and amazing things that God's been doing there. So thank you for giving above and beyond your tithe to the Harvest Project. Let's pray over our offering. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. Bless the gift and the giver. And Lord, help us to continue to sow into and meet the needs of missionaries and ministers called to make a difference all over this world. Yes. Just like Jen, Jen Dupin, that we just prayed over, Lord. Every week, sowing into hundreds of young people. God, bless Elevate. Bless Marissa and Jose. Bless all of our missionaries and ministries. And thank you, God, for the opportunity to give. It's such a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we've been talking a lot the last few weeks about attend one, serve one, the opportunity we have because we started two services in COVID, and we've just felt the leading of the Lord to stay there and to take it on as a challenge.
That's right.
You know, it was an opportunity to distance, and now it's an opportunity to reach people.
That's right.
So you know what? Look at the empty chairs around you and start going, who needs to be in those seats? And who needs to be a part of this family of faith? And who do we need to invite? And who do we need to reach? And then if all of us will just start praying about attending a service and serving a service once or twice a month, okay? That'll make a huge difference. Our children's ministry is really starting to bust at the seams. We need people back serving. So we're asking you to prayerfully consider that. And Growth Track's coming back. That'll be reappearing here soon. And small groups are coming. And lots of good things happening. And today, it's a lady-themed day at New Song. We've got to pray over Jen and over Dawn. We got to hear from Marissa and bringing the word of God to us today. Not in any way, shape, or form, listen, if you're sensitive to these issues, not in any way, shape, or form trying to take authority over men or any of those things. The Bible, I believe, clearly teaches that women are called just as men are to preach and proclaim and make a difference for Jesus. The Bible says there's neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female in the kingdom of God, and that he was going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Amen,
amen.
Men and women.
That's right.
So we get a chance to hear from Jen Hansen today. Welcome, Jen Hansen. Come on up and bring us a good word today. Here's a picture of your beautiful family.
Yes.
And look at there. There's Sarah and Spencer back there and baby Rhett.
Right.
I got it, Rhett. I like that.
It's
Everett, but they call him Rhett. And Jen, look at this beautiful family that God has given you. It's amazing.
Yes,
so we welcome you. Yes. She's been a part of our team for a long, long time, and we're very blessed by her. So bring the word of God, Jen. Give her one more good welcome, would you?
Thank you.
Get all my stuff out of her way.
So yeah, I've been here a long, long time.
Careful
yes.
now, careful.
Well, I just want to do a little quick shout out to my husband. We have been married 33 years. Friday. So, yay. Thank you, honey. All right. Well, one of the things that I was really praying about, I was reminded of, we just had a really great time a couple of weeks ago. Some of us ladies got together. And we went on a glamping trip, okay? So not your rugged in the tent kind of camping, but you know, RV, luxury RV, wonderful. Thank you, Don and Eric, for that. And we just as friends just got together and got to spend some time. And I did something that I have not done in a really long time. We got to go on a boat on a large lake, and we would find a little cove, and then we would drop anchor, and then we would float on big floats to our heart's content. And this little bitty picture, because we're not going to zoom in, is actually me on the big raft, because, you know, what was started in Green River stays in Green River, just saying. And so we would do that, and it was wonderful. But we kept running into a little problem. We would throw our anchor out over the back of the boat, and this is a picture of the boat. It's a little pontoon boat. And it would seem like it would catch, and then we'd float for a while, and then we'd realize the boat was drifting. And we're like, oh, okay, well. So we'd reposition the boat, and then we would think we were set, only to have the same thing happen again. And we were doing everything right. Yet, it wasn't working. Why? What was the problem? So some of you more experienced boaters may know the answer, or may be guessing what that might have been. But it was that our anchor, we think, was not heavy enough for the size of the boat or the amount of current that we had going on. And so we would throw it over and it would catch, but then the current would knock it out of place and then we would start to drift again. And so it would knock our anchor loose. And of course, you know, being a ministry-minded person, I couldn't help but be struck by the spiritual parallels of the anchor and what that meant. And I was laughing thinking about this. I don't remember, Tracy and I, our kids all grew up together, and I don't remember which one of them said it, but we're finding an analogy. I believe it was Hannah, Jeff and Tracy's oldest, that said, you know, Mom, sometimes a pencil's just a pencil. There's no analogy. It was Emily. They said it to me. I don't know. One of them. Obviously, you can get the drift that sometimes that we can draw analogies and things. But I really felt like that. I want to go this way. That with the anchor, that really is an analogy. That is a strong correlation. There's a lot of spirit team refers references. You guys probably know Hebrews 6:19 refers to the promise of salvation as the hope that anchors the Christian. And when you look at the anchor, you see what? You see a cross. The early Christians saw that too. They also used that as a symbol. And so for me, I like to break that down. What does that mean actually for me? Okay. For me, knowing that Jesus went through all the things that I go through, that anchors me. Just that thought, that I am never alone, that he is always with me, that anchors me. And so when the world gets crazy, and it gets crazy sometimes, right? Jesus is our anchor in an ever, ever changing world. In other words, we can still have joy. We can still have peace. We can still have stability, or we should be able to do that. And so I was thinking and praying about this, and I really had to look at this because I realized something, that sometimes that's not true of me. That sometimes I really have peace, and sometimes I really don't. And sometimes I feel anchored, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I actually feel not settled and anxious and restless. And just like with our little pontoon boat, I have gone through all the motions doing what I felt like was all the right things. And still drifting. Now, not drifting in a big way, and there's all kinds of drifting. But what I'm talking about for me is drifting from that assurance, from that steadfastness. And I begin to ask the Lord, Lord, am I drifting? I'm not alone. Maybe you're, you know, I don't know if you've thought to ask that question to the Lord. I ask a lot of questions to the Lord, which I am glad that he does not get weary of me asking the questions, and he does not for you as well. But I'm not alone. In much of the church post-COVID, and I know we're kind of in the middle of COVID, post-COVID, middle COVID, I know that's going on. But post the big, you know, shutdown and all of that, the church has not completely returned like it has before. And this is not specific to our church. This is in churches across the board. And so I know, obviously, there are people travel. Things come up. But I'm talking about more than that. I think for some, they've kind of got a new life. And I'm not saying this in a judging way at all, because it is easy to do. It is easy to drift. But they have a new life. They got new habits. And those new habits don't include corporate worship, or at least not to the extent that it did before. And some have stopped coming to church at all. They're really not coming to church. They're not watching online. They've stopped. And so when it comes to drift, Dan Ryland, who is I believe a pastor and mentor of leaders, he has an article called 5 Reasons People Are Drifting from Church. When it comes to church, drift leads to distance, and distance leads to disconnection. And so the purpose, the church's primary function, we know is what? We need to reach the lost, right? To come in, to be born into the church. We want to reach unbelievers and to have that. We want to also reach the lost around us. But after that, it is for us to mature in our faith and to grow spiritually. So it's not just about us attending church so we can check a box. We're supposed to be doing something while we're here. And we need each other to do that. We need connection in order to grow spiritually. We need community. And we need other believers. We need authentic community. You see, I can know you. You can know me. And we can grow together, and we can do life together. That's what church is supposed to be. And when we drift from church, we end up disconnected and isolated. And again, I just want to say to you, you all are all sitting here, and you guys that are watching from home, that we love you, and that you're trying to connect, and I understand that. All of you are here, but I just want you to realize this can be very subtle, even if you're sitting here. See, drift can happen. Church attendance is just one indication of drift. It's not the only one. And so we have to check our hearts and look at that. In our boat, let's go back. In our boat situation, we were doing all the right things, but our anchor was not heavy enough for the weight of the boat or the swift pace of the current. So to go with that analogy, we know Jesus isn't light, so he's not the problem. I know a lot of times we think of the anchor itself as like Jesus is kind of that anchor, but actually the anchor analogy for me is, in my understanding, is what anchors us is our faith in him. Okay? And so if we take a casual or kind of light approach to our spiritual life, and I'll speak for myself, you know, if I'm taking a lighter approach and kind of casual about it. When the currents of change and unpredictability get stronger, I'm going to drift. In another way that you know that maybe you're not doing really the time that you need, and let me give you an example of this, because I think this is helpful. I sit down, I read my Bible, I pray, I do that. I try to do that every single day. It's not checking a box. It's for me sitting in God's presence and really listening and taking that time. And when things get hectic and I don't do that as much and I'm not really connecting with God, and then you throw in, even when we're here, we've got that restlessness, that disconnection, that whatever it is. And it can be just so subtle. But when you know you really haven't done what you've needed to do, not in a condemning way, but just in an understanding so that you can address it, is when things get heavy in your life and you are thrown by it. See, in our analogy with our boat being heavier, sometimes life hits us very hard. We have something happen. We have, you know, a tragedy happen. We have the sickness, we have a job loss, we have something that's just really throwing us. And so even when we think we're really solid with the Lord, it's revealed when it throws us, when we're drifting again. So when I struggle, for me, I will drift. And we've got to be prepared and not neglect our spiritual life. So as I prayed about this for me, because I said to my husband and my kids, this is for me, for sure. I hope it's for some of you guys, but I really, man, the Lord was really, really impressing me that I needed to do this. I needed to look at this. And what the Holy Spirit prompted me was, what is the habit of your heart? What is the habit of your heart? So according to the Word, we know that there's no more important thing for us to tend to than our heart. I love the Passion Translation for this. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. For from there flows the wellspring of life. And as I was reading this, and I just, you know, clicked on it, it made a reference to the Hebrew word levav. Hopefully that's right, how to pronounce that, for heart. It includes our thoughts. It includes our wills when we're talking about our heart. It includes our discernment, and it also includes our affections or our emotions. So that's important that when we look at the heart and how to guard the heart, the Bible's talking about all of those things. So when the Lord was asking me, what is the habit of your heart, He was asking me about all of those areas. The first area of the heart that we're going to talk about, we're not going to talk about all of it, but we're going to hit some major important ones. The first area of your heart that we will talk about is our thoughts. And you all know this, probably are familiar with this scripture. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's Proverbs 23:7. So we know that we should guard our hearts, our thoughts specifically, and that's a way to guard our hearts. So when the Lord calls us to guard our thoughts, He's basically asking us, where is your mind going? Where's your mind going? And I think it's really important that the habit part of this, what is the habit of your heart, when the Lord asked me that, the habit part's important. And the reason the habit part is important is sometimes I talk to people and especially people that struggle with anxiety and things like that, you will have a random thought just pop in your mind, and that kind of scares them. And maybe it's a scary thought, or they picture something in their mind of something bad happening. And so we're not talking about that. I'm not talking about a random thought. I'm talking about what's the habit of your thought life. Let me give you an example. Maybe some of the ladies can, I think this is more ladies than men. But if you are working with people around you, and say you have a coworker, and you say hello to them, and they don't really respond back, or they're kind of frown, or they kind of, you know, don't seem to be talking. There's a coolness there, and you kind of pick up on that, right? And so what I can do is I can think to myself, well, I wonder if they're mad at me. And so that may have nothing to do with it, but it is my first thought. It is what I go to. I wonder if they're mad at me. There must be something wrong, and it must be my fault. And that part right there, you can put in different scenarios. And again, this isn't all of you, but I bet this is some of you, where you think, well, if somebody's mad, it must be my fault. And that's the habit that I'm talking about. You just, as you go through, you pick up on things and you tend to blame yourself, but you're not really aware of it. Okay? Another example, let's say you hear a rumor at your job that they're laying people off. Okay? And you, the thought that goes through your mind is, oh no, I'm going to lose my job. And then you know how it always happens, right? That's the day you get in your car and it doesn't start. And you think to yourself, bad things always happen when it comes to finances. I can never catch a break. And that is another example of a habit of your mind. Do you go there with your thinking? When bad things happen, is that your go-to that you do? Another example of this, and I think Tracy, when she was praying for us, she alluded to this. And I thought, oh, she's going to do my sermon here. But that was good. It just confirms that this is the Lord. If my mind is constantly going to the worst case scenario, or I'm just obsessing over some worry, it can be your kids. It can be the health of a loved one. It can be a legitimate concern. But you go over it and over it and over it in your mind. Yeah. And so that, what is the habit of my thoughts doing to me? I have to ask myself, I can do this. Absolutely can do this. I can go over it and absolutely wear myself out. And I know, and you know, what does Jesus say? He says, do not worry. Does it profit you to worry? Can you add a day? Can you really change anything by worrying? We know all of that, and yet we can really get stuck here. And so the way that what I have to do is I have to be willing to think about my thoughts. And I have to say, no, I am not wearing myself out by worry. I'm just not. And it's a fight. When you start to do this, if you've done this for a while, let me tell you, it will be a fight to stop it. But it's a fight worth doing. Because you don't have to live that way all the time. All right. Another area that we need to look at is to guard our emotions. Proverbs 29:11 says that fools vent their anger, but the wise quickly hold it back. And so sometimes the habit of my heart is about my emotions. And when you read this, I want you to, when you read this, and it is talking specifically about anger, but I don't think it's a far stretch for us to apply that in other areas of our emotions. Because we can give full vent to anger, but also to fear. We can give full vent to bitterness. We can give full vent to suspicion. Let me give you an example in my own life. A number of years ago, and I will tell you, I don't do this now. So for what I'm about to tell you guys, don't be worried. I'm not this way anymore. But for a time in my life, I used to, every time I was around men, I was suspicious of them. And if you know, and I've shared my testimony many times, and if you want to know more details, I'm glad to tell you after. I'm not going to go into my testimony. But I'll say this. I was abused by men growing up, so it makes sense that I would have suspicion when I was around men. But understanding that and doing that didn't change the emotions for me. Every time that I was around men, I would be overwhelmed with feeling distrust and suspicion. And here's the thing. I gave it full vent. Why? Because, well, I thought to myself, it must be for a reason. They must have, there's a vibe coming off of them, and they must be bad. And so the very thought felt, the feeling itself reinforced that that must be true. See, that's a fallacy that we can get into. Because it seems right. You can say to yourself, it's weird, it's strange, it's whatever. And I'm not saying disregard your intuition, things like that. I'm not saying that. But that's not what I'm talking about. This was an overwhelming, take me over kind of mistrust and suspicion. So, of course, when you relate to people with that, guess what? They pick up on a weirdness from you. And so, therefore, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy type thing. And so I gave full vent to that. And then I learned that I did not want to do that anymore, that everybody wasn't. Once I would kind of pray through things, and as I was getting more and more healing, I would go, okay, not every guy is going to hurt me. And how do I get more comfortable? And I began to really fight that. And now I can honestly tell you that I don't have any issues with that at all. When I first went through healing, we had Cleansing Streams retreats, and they would hug you. And, oh, it was like I couldn't almost get to the retreat to get prayed for because all these guys were going to hug me, and it was, scary to me. So now it never enters my mind. And if you are an abuse survivor, you know what a really big deal that is, that I have that freedom, and you can have that freedom too. Another example, have you ever met anybody that their first reaction was just negative? Like every time, no matter what you told them, it was Debbie Downer. No matter what you said, they were negative. And that's an example of a habit. I really think a lot of people don't even realize how much they get in the habit of a negative or even a bitter response. I have a relative that I won't name who absolutely is bitter. And I really think he doesn't even realize how bitter he is. It's just the first thing he goes to. He has a way of turning it to something bitter. The same thing with fear. And so the more we give full vent or permission to what it's easy, negative feelings like fear, suspicion, anger, it's easier to give into it the next time. You guys have all heard this. I know you have. We've talked about it here. You've probably read about it. But the more that we do things, the more that we reinforce it, what happens? Pathways are made in the brain. And so it's easier to do the same behavior again. The good thing is we can do the opposite. And if we do the fight and the work, then the opposite also eventually holds true. But if I have 30-some years, 40-some years, 50-some years of doing something a certain way, you better believe there's a lot of pathways that's what my brain wants to go to. And so understanding that helps me to understand the level of the fight. But here's the thing. The Lord is with us. He doesn't leave us alone in that. And he will help us. There's a part we play and a part he plays. All right, the next area that we need to guard is our speech. We need to look at our words. Words both reflect and reinforce what is going on in our hearts. Let me say that again. Words both reflect, we know the scripture, so out the mouth speaks, out of the heart the mouth speaks, right? It reflects what's in our heart. And it reinforces what's in our hearts. So have you ever heard yourself say something to someone? And as you're hearing yourself say it, you're going, wow, ooh, that's pretty dark. Okay, where is that coming from? Ever done that? Because that's in there. And so if you use that moment, your words can be a tool to you. They can tell you something. Okay, so if you'll use that moment, you've heard yourself say it, and you stop, you examine, and then you redirect. We have done ourselves a huge favor if we do that. Words also reinforce what's in our hearts because we think them, then we say them, and we hear ourselves say them. See all the reinforcement that we're getting? Negative, what we say. So remember that the negative, with negative emotions, that words amplify them by repeating them to other people and to ourselves. So the next time that you're going off and you're upset, remember that you're reinforcing that, whatever that is that you're saying. Let me give you an example. You ever tell a friend something that happened to you that made you angry and you find yourself getting angrier? You wouldn't believe what this woman in the little white SUV did. She cut me off. It made me so angry. And as you say that, you realize you're more angry. And she's angry too, right? And so, you know, and you say to yourself, I didn't even realize I was that angry till I was telling Susie about this. Or, this works with other things besides anger, I didn't realize how hurt I was until I was telling my friend about how much they hurt me. And so, again, that reinforces it and it confirms it to you. And that builds this wall of truth that maybe is true and maybe isn't if you're not sitting there really examining it and taking it apart. So what do we do about it? When the Lord prompted me with asking me, what is the habit of your heart? It wasn't because he didn't know what was in my heart. He prompted me because I needed to know that what was in my heart. And that really is the first step. We have to be aware. God calls us to look inside and to examine our hearts. Not so we feel bad. He's not ever doing that to condemn you. He's doing that because he realizes the trap that you're in, and he wants you out of that trap. I was very familiar with Proverbs 4:23, as you guys are as well, guarding my heart, but I didn't realize until I was looking at this that there's really an action plan for what to do if you look at it in the following verses after that. And again, this is the Passion Translation. Set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose, looking straight ahead. Ignore life's distractions. Watch where you are going. Stick to the path of truth, and the road will be safe and smooth before you. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked even for a moment or take a detour that leads to darkness. And so, when you take that scripture apart, you have something to do with this. And I really, really felt like, again, I know it's speaking to me. The first part, to set your gaze on the path before you. You need to remember the purpose or vision. Let me tell you what an example to kind of illustrate that. Have you ever been on a diet and somebody brings in a chocolate cake, right? So how many know that if you think, don't eat that chocolate cake, don't eat that chocolate cake, don't eat that chocolate cake, what are you going to do? You're going to eat the chocolate cake, right? So just saying, don't think bad thoughts and don't feel bad things, in fact, has a reverse effect. And so how do we overcome the dieting temptation? I'll throw out an example. Say I'm dieting because I want to go to the beach. And so maybe I put a picture of the beach on my wall in my office. Why? Because that helps me to remember the purpose. And it helps me to focus. I'm not going to eat that chocolate cake. I'm not even going to worry about it because I'm going to be ready for this vacation that I'm going to have. And this is going to be worth it. So even though it's a simple illustration, you can apply this to anything that's a temptation for you. So you can kind of ask yourself, what do I struggle with? What am I shooting for? Do you want peace and joy and stability? Maybe you're just really, really tired of being anxious all the time. Maybe you're really, really tired of worrying. Maybe you're really tired of being in fear and feeling like you don't have joy and you don't have peace. So then you want to think about what it is you want, and that's your purpose, that's your vision. Let me give you a real life example that happened to me, and I apologize right now to my husband and my daughter that had to, this happened yesterday. If I'm really plagued with fear about driving I-65, which I am, my purpose or vision is to drive with peace or less anxiety, to get to my destination without torturing my family, and just to have a better time. It can be very, very simple. And again, I'm not going to be effective in this by saying, I'm not going to think about Rex. I'm not going to think about Rex. It's not going to work. Or also it's not going to work is saying things to yourself like, that's stupid. Why do I do that anyway? That does not help. Okay? So here's what I literally do. I said this, and this I did this yesterday. I say, Jesus, thank you that you're always with me. I am not alone. I thank you that you are good and you are for me. I thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I say that as I drive I-65. That's the second part. You have to plan with intention. You have to put feet to this. So many times we throw a half-hearted effort together. We say something to ourselves or try to talk to ourselves, but we don't really put feet to it. We don't really put a plan to it. We don't really test it. And so then we say, well, it just didn't work. And really, we have to have an intentional plan and we have to put feet to it. The third area that we need to put action to, to be sidetracked even for a moment, that takes presence, okay? You have to be engaged. This one has really been an area of challenge for me lately, and I don't know if you guys have been challenged as well. It just seems like, and it's at least with people that I talk to, it's very hard. It's like we're distracted. We've constantly got things going on and interrupting us. And so what I'm realizing is, and what I felt like the Lord was showing me, is we really need to practice being present. So when you find yourself distracted, going off, not thinking, you are vulnerable. And so it's important for you to go, no, no, I need to calm down. I really need to enjoy what I'm doing right now. I need to be present here. I need to be engaged in my life right now. What am I seeing right now? That helps to ground me. That helps me to stay on target. That helps me to identify purpose, to have an intentional plan, and for me not to get lost in worry. See, when I get lost in worry, I have lost my anchor. So one of the things I'm really working on is to stay present, be engaged. And then the last one is to stay persistent. To take a detour that leads to darkness. We have to be persistent, because if we're not persistent, that's where we'll end up. See, when you don't fight, and when you are not persistent, and you just kind of let things ride, what happens is we allow ourselves to feel defeated. And then that can lead to hopelessness or feelings of failure. And so that ends up leading us, that can end up leading us into darkness or just giving up. And so we've got to fight that. And we've got to fight that good fight. And I just want to encourage you to not give up. The other thing that I would say to you is to not do it alone. There are lots of people here that will join with you, that will pray with you, that will help you be accountable in a non-judgmental way to help you overcome some of these things. And so as I end today, and hopefully you guys got this, right? Some questions for you and some things for you to think about and pray about. But I'm just going to lead us in prayer right now. And I'm just going to have you stay at your seats, and I'm going to have you just close your eyes and bow your heads, and I just want you to take a moment, because this is what I know. For a lot of us, we'll get busy, and this will just go out the window, and I really believe the Lord wants to do some business with some of you here today. Maybe for some of you, you find yourself worrying. You're worrying about relationships. You're worrying about money. For others of you, as you were listening, you realize you're really easily angered. Or you give full vent to fear. You give full vent to suspicion or bitterness. What is the area of your life that you sense the Holy Spirit encouraging you to examine and make a plan of redirection? So we're just going to pray right here. And as I pray, I just want you to be listening. Is there any area that God is really pointing his finger to right now? So Lord, I do. I lift up each and every one and just pray that you speak a freeing word to them. That there is some area that you have identified, that you don't point out anything, you don't reveal things, that you don't heal. So Lord, right now, I pray for each one that as they're just sitting here, that they would just say, yes, Lord, help me to be aware, help me to have a plan, help me to get to share with others. Lord, I trust you with this. It's as simple as that. And as we trust you, Lord, you finish that work. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so your challenge this week is to reach out to somebody after praying that you haven't seen in church for a while. Send them an encouraging text, make a lunch date or a coffee date, and reach with them with a phone call. So just encourage you to do that. All right.
We give Jen a good hand of appreciation there. I don't think my mic was on. Let's do it again, all right? Let's do it again. That's good word, Jen. Good word. Why don't you stand with me today, please? And yes, the cupcakes have arrived. Hallelujah. Thankful to the Lord. for a good cupcake. Hope you're not on that diet. I'm not trying to lead you astray. Believe me. But you know what? We got two really special ladies we want to celebrate. And so if I can get Dawn and Jen to go back by the table just so you guys can congratulate them. This is a really big deal. They worked very hard to get this licensing, and it's really just an affirmation of God's hand upon these ladies in a special way. So we want to celebrate them good. All right, we're going to pray. Lord, thank you for a great day today. Thank you for a good word. Lord, let your face shine upon us. Be gracious to us, and let your light shine through us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a great day, and make sure you get a cupcake.